Everybody, huddle up. Live from the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company, this is the Great Dane Huddle featuring Badgers legend and special guest host, Barry Alvarez.
I'd love to coach a game like that.
Oh, man.
They may not see a pass in the second half. And that was good. That would be the shortest second half in Camp Randall history. We'd run that. I'd run that clock. That game would be over. We'd be home having cocktails at 3:30.
On 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand, alongside former Badgers Derek Engler and Tarek Saleh, here's Alex Gravatt.
Well, the Badgers may not have seen a whole lot of runs or passes in the second half, I should say. It was all running as the Iowa Hawkeyes decimate the Badgers, 42-10, absolutely brutal game. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Tarek Saleh and Derek Engler at the Fitchburg location of the Great Dane. This is the Great Dane Huddle, driven by Janesville Kia, and we have Coach Barry Alvarez remote from his secret location. And it was brutal, guys. Let's just start there. You both seem to have your heads hung low. You're wearing black hoodies. Coach, you're far away, but vibes seem a little down. How are we doing after that game?
Well, it wasn't fun to watch, for sure. Very disappointed. You know, we since Kirk Ferentz has been there, since I think 99, you knew what type of team Iowa was going to bring in, and how well you'd have to play and how you'd have to be physical and sound to beat them. And I thought it would be a typical Iowa-Wisconsin game. It would be a low scoring. Who could be the toughest, most sound for four quarters? Maybe we found that out.
Maybe, yeah. Indeed.
Well, Coach, I think we could all agree. There were men and there were boys on that field. And Iowa definitely looked like the men. And we looked like little boys getting manhandled, specifically up front on that defensive line. It was not good.
Well, as we said, you guys know, since Kirk's been there, you know what type of team they're going to have, and you know what to expect. It wasn't like you're going to be surprised or that they did anything to surprise you. They're just saying, we're tougher than you, and we can last longer than you, and that's exactly what we saw. And it's really disappointing to see our guys manhandled like that.
You know, Coach, it was tough. I mean, I'm watching the Iowa offensive line, and I'm watching what traditionally when you flip on the Badgers film and our offensive line creating holes like they were, and our guys up front defensively for the Badgers, they were on roller skates. I mean, there were holes just opening up, and, you know, it's tough when you're outrushed by 200 yards, rushing attempts almost 2-1. You know, that's not an Iowa-Wisconsin football game. Usually that's pretty equal, and it goes down right down to the end, and it is toughness, smash mouth, in the trenches, and that's not what this was at all. And then you have a quarterback that can't throw the ball. He's obviously trends to throw a 50-50 ball, but there were so many errant passes in this game. Not even close to targets. It was really, really discouraging.
Okay, well, I didn't want to start here, but I think we might as well go here right away. I worked the Badgers post game. We were across the ESPN Wisconsin network, and we had people calling in and texting and begging for a change at quarterback, and he wasn't the guy who you started with, Braden Locke, right? Well, yeah, there's that question, obviously, with Matower, maybe, but why are the Badgers hesitant to make that switch at this point in the season, Coach?
I can't answer that. I think somebody needs to ask that in the press conference. You know, our fans get frustrated. And a game like that will frustrate a lot of people on both sides of the ball. You know, we got more problems than the quarterback. And you'd like to start with being able to block somebody so that you could run the ball. You know, you see what Iowa's doing. They're holding on to football. They're sticking it right down our throats. That could have been the shortest game in history if we had run the ball. You know, but you got to make it physical. And, you know, you got to play – the type of game that they're bringing to you. And there's no place to hide in a game like that. It's not about the quarterback.
Yeah, and the other quarterback's a freshman. Like, it's just there's no one else to go to. So you got the guy that's going to give you the best chance. Unfortunately, it's frustrating, right? But there's, to the coach's point, there's a lot of positions that need to look at themselves in the mirror. I mean, they look like they were not there. You know what I mean? They didn't show up. Like, they didn't want to be there. First of all, you got to get that past that.
They only threw the ball 10 times against us. That's like our senior year with Mike Samuel.
They knew what their quarterback
didn't
could
have
do.
To.
Yeah, didn't have to. That's right, coach. You know,
didn't have to.
It just we're going back to, you know, here we you know, put some good offensive production against teams we should beat. You know, which is good, but you know, we get in these games. I mean, Iowa, you know, this isn't Bama. You know, USC on the road, I felt that's a team that we should have, you know, if we just didn't leverage that right. I thought we got out-coached the second half. That's obvious. But, you know, this is a game that, you know, you need this. Going into a bye week with the number one team coming into your house and then to get stomped.
But, you know, our D-line's underperformed. And we've gone against teams that have spread and they play this wide open stuff, so we could hang with those teams. The minute, you know, Alabama didn't need to throw the ball. They throw the ball because they were practicing. You know, Penn State in the second half, they just ran the deal with the backup quarterback and he just kept moving the chains, running the ball. They just run. So why would you stop? And Iowa took good notes and they did exactly what we're talking about.
So what does that say to
and
you guys?
And they prefer to do
– go ahead, Coach.
I was just going to say, and they prefer to do that anyhow. They're just like we would. If you could run the ball, you don't have to get cute and don't get bored. Just keep doing it. You keep the ball away from your opponent. You're tacking points on the board. You're going to win the game. And that was classic. That's our game plan. That's what we once hear for so many years, doing the same thing that they just did to us. And it was frustrating to sit there and for me to watch that.
Absolutely nothing cute about what Iowa was able to do. 42-10. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Badger legends Tarik Salah, Derek Engler, and Coach Barry Alvarez. Now, the Badgers, we were talking about, it didn't look like they had an identity. It didn't look like they had a game plan. They came in and they got dominated in seemingly every phase of the game. What does that say to you as the big guys up front? I want to start with you, Derek, as the guy who was the big guy up front. How did they let the team down, and how did the team let them down for that?
Well, I mean, I one of the bright spots, in my opinion, on this team thus far, until really the last two games, being a little frustrated with some things. Obviously, good defensive fronts in Penn State and Iowa. I thought the offensive line this year has been a bright spot, you know, on this football team. I think there's some things in a combination of defense can't get off the field, what have you. But, I don't want to get into game planning, game calling, this and that, because, you know, Coach Longo, it appeared to be, and if you look at, you know, rushing versus Pat, you know, against the teams that we beat and handedly, you know, in the Big Ten, you know, we were trending that way. And I don't know what I was watching this past Saturday. You know, it just we didn't move the ball. We didn't keep it normal down distance. First down, first down is so important. And we don't keep it normal down and distance. And that's what we need to do. That's what Iowa did against us.
Yeah, and then I keep thinking about the D-line. Like, they are stuck on blocks. They don't know, you know, where their help's coming from. And it's just dominoes from there. So the linebackers are playing with the D-line in their chest, right? So they're not running downhill. And then all of a sudden the safety's trying to figure out where he's supposed to fit in. Nobody knows what they're doing because it's just getting crushed up front. And we got to be fundamentally better sound there. You got to get in better football position, better leverage, use your hands, and get off blocks. But they're just not doing it.
The one thing you do, Tarik, whether you're a safety, whether you're a linebacker especially, you don't run into the D linemen. I know they're getting knocked around a little bit, but you go opposite of them. You fill the holes where they're not. You know, in a perfect world, you know, they go to their gap assignment, and that's where they're locked in, and the linebacker goes to it is that there's flow there. But sometimes that it isn't as clear-cut as that. And so you exchange just on the move. So the linebacker's got to adjust as the play goes and go to the open area, go to the open gap. That's what he's got to be able to see.
Coach, I'm curious. This game, we've talked about it already. We've talked about the coaching. We've talked about the defense. We've talked about Braden Locke. Which of those three did we learn the most about in this terrible loss to Iowa?
Well, I think the thing that I don't know, it appeared to me, this is going to be a different answer, that they didn't know what quite to anticipate from Iowa, that Iowa was going to come in here, and that they really didn't understand. I got to tell you, over the years, when I first started, it was Minnesota. When you play a rivalry game, you have to understand, and your players have to understand, they are getting fired up. I mean, they are getting cranked all week. And if you don't match that enthusiasm and that energy, you're in trouble. And it took me a while until I ended up hiring a coach from Minnesota, and he came down and said, you know, do you realize how they prepare for Wisconsin every week? And we'd have a hard time with them early on in my tenure. He said, it's a bowl game. Man, they put it's a huge thing all week. And I changed my preparation for games like that from that point on, and it made a heck of a difference. And, sometimes new coaches come in and they don't understand all that.
That is the truth, Coach. And obviously, myself being from Minnesota and talking to friends and family and people up there, and I knew that rivalry when I stepped on campus at University of Wisconsin, obviously. You know, just it's not too long ago, 5 years ago, I was just looking at this. It was Minnesota and Wisconsin to win the West. Minnesota was top 10. They were 9. I think we were 11. And we beat their ass and end up back in the Big Ten championship. And it was a decent game. I mean, it was a credible game against Ohio State. We go to the Rose Bowl, lose by 1 to a Justin Herbert Oregon team. You know, whatever's happening right now needs to be rectified by Coach Fickell, because it's one thing, you know, win the games that you know you should win, and good for you. But that's not what we're about at Wisconsin. It's about, you know, winning the big games, you know, not making adjustments coming out of halftime. You know, that has not happened. That's apparent. And I just don't know. You know, we are limited up front, Tarek. You Doesn't, know that.
Shoot.
Yeah. We are very limited up front defensively. So what do you do? And Coach, this is for you. You know, you being a defensive coach, obviously, you know, in your career, how do you, when you know that personnel-wise up front, you know, how do you protect those guys a little bit? Obviously, you got to do it with the linebackers and the back end safety, of course. But, you know, you got to protect those guys.
You got to use movement. Well, what gave you the most problems? Movement. Stemming.
Amen.
Movement after the stem. Line up in a 5 technique, you're rocking to a 3. And vice versa, 3 to a 5. Never letting, you know, not lining up and letting your opponent know what your technique is. Or the fact that you're lined up there, that's your responsibility. That you may end up anywhere. What that does is put them just a little bit hesitant. You know, that's one thing. And then at halftime, you got to have some little adjustments, some little change-ups, little wrinkles that you add to the game, and Tarek, don't just go right back out. Well,
do you remember,
and screw in,
Coach?
What you've been doing?
I got to tell you, Tarek, you might remember this when we had the lead, and it might be, you know, similar to like a Penn State game by a field goal over, you know, a top 5 rated team going into halftime, or a rivalry game, Iowa, Minnesota, what have you, even Northwestern back then. You know, it was so intense, and I'm talking from Coach Alvarez to all his staff. We are not letting up. We are not letting up. We are going to step on their neck, and we're going to get even more after their ass in the second half. And, I mean, we that was so important. I remember that vividly.
Well, I'm thinking about this defense right now. This defense is playing the way they line up and the way they play. They're playing like they have all five-star, all-American draft picks, that they're just going to out-effort everybody and or outplay them because their talent's much better. There's a combination in our defense of playing sound fundamental and then having some talent behind it, and then that comes together because you can't just rely on running around and, like you said, on roller skates and just hope that things are going to happen. When we get coached, when we hit adversity, we always had a thing to go back to. That was fundamentals. We're going to play with our hands, play with a good football position, and be able to combat when we got ambushed. Because you're taking the heat, and you got to resort to something, and it was our fundamentals. This team doesn't have the fundamentals and doesn't have the dudes. They don't have the Jimmys and the Joes, and they don't have the fundamentals. So then you run out of answers, and you just get run over, and that's what I saw.
Okay. This has been tough, but it's good to get it all out, right? Like the Badgers lost 42-10 to the Iowa Hawkeyes. The Iowa Hawkeyes, I don't know if they've ever scored 42 against the Badgers. I mean, I'm sure they have at some point.
I don't know. I can't remember last time they scored more than 15.
Exactly. They won six games scoring less than 20 last year.
Yeah, it was the first time Iowa scored 40 against Wisconsin since 1979.
Ugh. Whoa. Thank you, Riley. Yeah, back in the ESPN Madison Everlight Solar Studio. But I want to get to a brighter note. I'd like to feel a little bit better. So we're going to talk about the future in possibly a bright way here. And you can get more for your pour. The Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company is a Madison original brewing award-winning craft beers for 30 years. And now every Monday through Thursday, from 3 until 6 p.m., enjoy 20-ounce pints of their flagship beers for only $3. From Crop Circle Wheat to the Good Dog IPA to the Old Glory APA, head to one of their locations in the area, Fitchburg,
so
Hilldale, Downtown, or East Side.
This is when I can enjoy my Oktoberfest. It's November, but I don't care. Oktoberfest goes all when it's cold, right?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Well, I don't know if it goes until it's cold. It stays cold here until, you know, mid-April
which
at the
one
very
is
least.
Is that just the
Oktoberfest? Delicious.
You love the Oktoberfest? Oh, yeah. It's always good to mix it up.
I'll take an Oktoberfest.
All right. We're putting in orders on air. This is the Great Dane Huddle driven by Janesville Kia. I get no doubt. Riley out back in the ESPN Madison Everlight Solar Studio trying to cheer me up. We've been reacting. The reactions have been big. Everything about this week has felt really big. But it's time to help me not overreact. The Badgers have had some pretty good moments this season. Now, this obviously was a really bad moment for the season. And, Coach, I'm curious what you think. Which one is closer to where the Wisconsin Badgers are and will be for the last three games of the season?
That's a good question, and I'll be very anxious to see how their team responds because, you know, this is where coaching comes in. This is where, as I used to tell assistant coaches, that's why they call you a coach. You've got to have an answer for all these things. You've got to break this down, see what your problems are. We could still end up having a very good year. You know, you've got games that are winnable, but we have a lot of things that have to be corrected. Let's correct those things and really put an emphasis on what we can do and finish out the year strong instead of limping out or feeling sorry for ourselves or making excuses. Or we don't have this or we don't have that. Let's come up with some answers of what we can do and clean them up and play well. Finish the season strong.
Coach, what does that look like? What is walking out of this season with success on the mind look like?
You mean what the final numbers would be?
I mean, final numbers or what? You know what it could look like.
I don't get the question. What's it look like? It looks like very positive going into the out of season, going to a better bowl game than you're leaning towards right now, and being positive with all your young players that are returning and showing your people in the program that you can improve, and then we are capable of getting better. And from here on, we're going to pick up from here and only continue to improve.
Coach,
that's what I think it should look like.
Yeah, and to that point, a bye week could not have come at a better time. I'm assuming you would believe in that. And I'm curious how you would approach this bye week coming off of an ass-kicking at a rival at Iowa.
Yeah, I think you have to be very careful. I thought about that because I think the natural reaction for the coach is to go back and really get after your kids in this bye week and wear them out, and like go back to camp and start from square one and get them tougher and work on all the things. But the first thing they probably need a little time off and get their heads clear. The coaches need to do a very good job of looking each grouping, what needs to be improved and how are we going to do it. And that's what the head coach is going to be pulling out, and the coordinators have got to be pulling out of these assistants during this bye week. And how are we going to get it done? How are we going to get better? How are we going to improve on the areas that we've been deficient? It's a very important week, and you can really accomplish a lot, and you have to be smart with it.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, last year they did bounce back. I remember watching that.
Nebraska and Minnesota.
Yeah, they won two in a row, which put them in a position to be in a good bowl. And, you know.
Well, that's what we have. But, you know, we're going to Lincoln.
Yeah.
And, you know, Minnesota's coming here, but, you know, Minnesota just had a big win.
Yeah.
You know, correct me if I'm wrong, they're 4-2 in the league. You know, and so that's going to be a big game. But, you know, I just think, to Coach's point, if you focus on your assistants and your groups, and that's, I really appreciate that answer, Coach, because I thought about it too, and I'm wondering, you know, back in the day, what would Coach Alvarez do? Would we be doing inside drill like for 20 periods and goal line and short yardage?
No, we just do four a day.
Yeah, you know, but that, to give the players some time off, clear their heads, I think is probably, especially in this day and age, probably the right thing. But more importantly, your staff, and to get and to really drill down and to get the groupings right and what these guys, you know, need, what we need to do and prepare for Oregon, of course, the number one team in the country coming to town. You know, we again on primetime, I just heard.
Yep, 6:30.
You know, do not want to get embarrassed again.
Can the Badgers avoid it? Can the Badgers avoid getting embarrassed?
Of course they can. What do I mean? Sure they can. Throw the towel in? No. Well, I mean, yeah, of course they can.
We're not playing, you know, the physical run game. This is going to be more of a spread them out deal. Might fit more of what we got on defense. I think our back end is pretty good. Is decent, right? So the onus isn't on the D line, and if we could just eliminate turnovers, I think our offense would be all right.
Conversely, Tarek, I'm thinking offensively. Gosh, dang it! Just give these guys a chance and let them really get into a groove and tee it off and really be disciplined and committed to running that football against an Oregon football team.
Don't turn the ball over, though.
Don't turn the ball over.
You can't turn the ball over.
Don't turn the ball over. That's yeah.
Derek, these are one of the – this is a game where you make it a lineman game. You challenge your O-line.
Amen.
Let's run the ball at them. Let's hang on to the football. You know, come up with a plan. Everybody understand. We're going to run the ball. We're going to chew that clock up, you know, and but linemen have got to work. And when we throw it, it's going to be play action. It's going to be high percentage. We're going to move the chains, and we'll keep moving the chains. You know,
absolutely. Listen, there's been a lot of Twitter, and I know that Twitter's a bad place for stupid people, all of that. But there's been a lot of heat on Fickell on Twitter, and so as we go into a game that is a huge undertaking in the number one team, Oregon, how can you help remind me and Badger fans everywhere that Luke Fickell is the answer, and he is the face of this organization. Is that's right? Correct, Coach?
He is our head coach, and we all support him.
Yeah,
you don't have any other choice.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And he's a good dude. Understand that. You can complain. There isn't a coach that ever came through there that didn't get butchered.
I'm gonna tell you one thing. The guy is focused.
That's the name of the game.
I mean, he is focused, and you ain't going to find anybody more intense than trying to get this right, obviously. You know, if we don't turn this thing around a little bit, then, you know, he's going to have to find some alternatives. There's no question. Because, you know, it starts with your staff, and ultimately it lies on his head. You know, but bottom line is he's got three opportunities here. And
yeah.
You know what? We could easily upset the number one team in the country. There's no doubt in my mind.
Hold, you believe that?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
How
There's
are they
no question.
It? How are they going to do it?
Well, you don't turn the ball over. Okay? Mistake-free. Penalties. You run the football. You control that clock. Keep it out of Oregon's offense, number one. Okay? That's all we've ever known here. That's our MO. That's how we beat the top teams in the country in the past 3 decades.
We lost the
– Yeah,
go ahead, Coach.
I was just going to say our formula isn't a secret. But we did it well, and people couldn't take – you know, they couldn't take our brand of football away from us. Our will and our you know, our ability just allowed us to continue to do it. And we'd run the ball, and we'd control the clock, and we always played sound defense. You had to beat us on defense. We weren't going to make a mistake. And we limited our turnovers. We'd get a few turnovers. You know, it's fundamental
football.
Gee,
man, we just played Penn State. We had them 10-7 at half.
It was exciting.
It's number three team in the country. You can't throw a pick six when you come out.
And here you go. We lost Ohio State last year on October 28th, November 4th, Indiana, and then got embarrassed at home against Northwestern November 11th. And we came back, beat Nebraska, and then beat Minnesota there. And we played against LSU and played a great game. We should have won the game.
Absolutely.
But we have a chance to turn this around, to get in a good bowl game. And then, you know, next year we're going to have to just reassess, and Coach Fickell knows exactly what he needs to do.
I'm going to tell you what.
To get this right.
Seven, potentially eight wins with this schedule, that's a good season.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that we're in this position. I was surprised that we got our ass kicked at Iowa.
That one threw me for a loop.
If someone said, hey, what's our record?
We're 5-4.
If we were 5-4, people would go, yeah, I could see that happening. But just losing the way we lost is what's disheartening, okay?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we can't recover.
You mentioned earlier that there was a lot of, you know, it takes fire. It takes being set up and hungry to go get it, and that these other teams, our rival teams, they're preparing like the Badgers game is a bowl game. Do you think that maybe the Badgers organization lost a little bit of that this year because all of these big games felt like bowl games, Penn State, USC, Alabama, and now Oregon coming up, that they may have lost some of the sight that the biggest opponents are really our rivals?
Well, Coach already talked about it. I defer to him, but he already talked about when he started talking about these, he already knew the Iowa rivalry. But, you know, Coach Huber, Minnesota and the axe and the tradition there and where Minnesota's at today and where they're trying to go to, obviously we've seen that in recent years, that they circle us every year just like Northwestern has in the past. Those are the games, you know, and then Coach had the great ability of, you know, when you play the Ohio States, Penn States, Michigan, we already knew we separated those from the rivalry games. And he had a great ability to do that with his team.
Do you think that Coach Fickell's had that, though? Or have those games been the ones that are circled?
I don't know. Can I tell you this?
You know what? I
go ahead, Coach.
Go ahead, Tart.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, yeah. I was watching Dan Campbell yesterday in the Detroit Lions. He's like, I don't care where we play. We'll play in the parking lot. We'll play in the rain, snow. It doesn't matter. We're an indoor team. The way they built their team is that's what they're going to do. They don't circle games. You know this. You play the next game. You don't care where you play it, and you freaking get after it. So that's it. But, Coach, go ahead. Sorry about that.
No, I said this all earlier. There are rivalry games, and if one team is putting an emphasis on it, and the guys in the locker, and you have your schedule posted in your locker room, and a couple of the games on that schedule are highlighted, that sends a subliminal message every day throughout the year about that team, and then you change up a little bit that week. So the guys know it's a little more important. They put a little more into it. I used to tell the coaches, you need to pick up your energy this week. Because if the coaches all of a sudden, they pick up a step and they're a little louder, the players react quicker. And they know there's more of an urgency in the game. And that's how you get ready for a big game. Because if you don't, and the other team is, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble indeed. All right. We've got something in the poll. Are Luke Fickell and the new-look Badgers overlooking Wisconsin's classic rivalry? The answer to that might surprise you. Janesville Kia, located right off Interstate 90, is only minutes away from Madison. They treat people the way that they'd like to be treated, and that's why they are up 78% over last year. See for yourself why people all over Wisconsin have experienced the difference of Janesville Kia and told their friends. Come see Kia's groundbreaking lineup of award-winning vehicles with an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty. Experience the difference great customer service makes today at Janesville Kia. The answer to that poll coming up on the next side of this. It is the Great Dane Huddle, presented by Janesville Kia.
Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did?
You guys are having too much fun. We're at the Great Dane Huddle, Fitchburg location. Badgers lose 42-10, but all is not lost. Derek gave me an impassioned speech moments ago to say that Oregon is still winnable. That said, the ESPN Madison...
Why would you play the game, G-Man, if it's not?
Well, it's obvious. You got to play the game, yeah. but it's a tall task.
I don't ever remember walking into a game thinking...
No, but for us fans, you know, the people listening... We have hope, and we have legitimate hope because of what we talked about. That, you know, we've done. They came off last year where we thought they were done against Northwestern. They bounced back. They played against Penn State tough. We just can't turn the ball over. There's
Penn
a lot
State,
of hope.
USC at the half.
Yeah,
Bama. You know that first half. You know, if we don't have those mistakes, we're right in it. You know, taking Bama in the second half. You know, but we talked about this. We just got to make. Whatever's happening at halftime, we got to make adjustments.
Yeah, what is happening at halftime? And, Coach, I want to start with you. We've really held in the Badgers against these top teams through the first half, three quarters sometimes even, and then it seems like at the end of the game it just falls off. Why is that happening?
Well, you know what? I haven't studied film. I don't know if it's being worn out, lack of depth, some changing and change up of some scheme. I can't put my finger on it because I haven't studied it in depth, but probably a combination of all those things.
And Coach, you said it so well. I mean, when your defense is on the field for a long period of time, so when Penn State extends those drives, moves the chains, you're just getting tired. I mean, it's like the rope-a-dope, or, you know, in boxing. If some guy's, you know, hitting you, And you get tired and you don't knock the guy out, you know?
The rope-a-dope?
Well, that's all right. That's another story.
When you have...
Gee, you've never heard of the term rope-a-dope before?
G-Man. Okay, well, you're a fighter, Riley. I'm not a fighter.
Jeez.
I'm sorry. G-Man, let me tell you that.
When you have 2-1 rushing attempts, you know, there's nothing more physical in the game of football than a running play. There's just not. And you have 2-1 against us. What do you think our defense is doing?
Getting pounded.
Yeah. It ain't good. I mean, that's what we did. And that's what.
And what do you think their defense is doing?
Yeah.
Resting.
You know, what do you think? Their defense is over there sitting there laughing.
Yeah.
You know, they're eating a hoagie. You know?
Man, they look fast. They looked real fast this past game. And, okay, so I want to talk. Let's talk about this. As it moves along, right, the Badgers and the Hawkeyes are kind of recruiting similar style of player. They're in a similar vein. So if you're a player right now who's trying to decide if you want to go to Luke Fickell's Wisconsin Badgers or the team that just beat him 42-10, how do you make the argument for Wisconsin right now?
Well, whatever generation
you sell what you have.
Yeah.
And what do you have?
You got a great city. You got a great school.
Best atmosphere.
Tradition. Best atmosphere. You get all the positives that you have. And the fact, depending on who the kid is, that how he can contribute and be a factor in our program, how he can make a difference. I mean, I've been through that. Everyone's a little bit different, but you build a case for what you have and what you bring to some athlete. Look at Tarek. Derek too. These guys had chances to go all over. Tarik was really hard, and Derek too. Derek could have stayed home, gone to Minnesota. Tarik, his mother was crying. She wanted him to go to Penn State.
Amen.
But yeah, we convinced him that.
Yeah, coach is right. I mean, I wasn't as highly recruited as Tarik, but I mean, I had Michigan State, I had Minnesota, some other schools, and Northwestern, Indiana, and stuff like that. But Wisconsin was not there at that point. But you knew, and you could feel from Coach Alvarez and his staff that you wanted to be a part of that. And it really comes down to, to your point, Alex, and your question, how can they beat Oregon? Well, number one, it's Luke Fickell's job and his staff's job to make sure that these kids have the confidence that they can do it. And they find every single thing that all the positives in the games against these top teams in the country, because they've played three of them now. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, let's go.
And yeah, Coach Ferentz is getting long in the tooth. We have a lot of respect for him, but they're getting, you don't know if he's going to be around, how long he's going to be around. And, Luke is building a program, and he's, in the first couple of years, the 2 years, even when Coach was there, there was a lot of stuff that was getting worked through, filtering out. And I think, Coach, your third year, we almost went to a bowl game, Coach? And then their fourth
92,
year?
Yeah, 92, fumbled at Northwestern.
92, we fumbled we botched a field goal.
And
if we kicked a field goal at Northwestern, we'd have gone to a bowl.
So Coach.
And then next year we go to the road.
There you go. So you had two or three years.
I was at Iowa.
Yep.
I was at Iowa with Hayden Fry, and it was our third year there. We went to the Rose Bowl.
So, Coach,
and
you made Tarik's
– we took us four.
You made Tarik's mom cry by recruiting him to Wisconsin.
No, just the fact that he said he was coming to Wisconsin.
Got it. So Tarik made his mom cry.
Yeah, he made – it was his decision.
Amen.
No doubt.
Sure.
And what did Coach say to convince you to come to Wisconsin over Penn State?
Well, it was just the way he carried himself, the way the staff carried himself, what he said. Hey, here's what we did. And he was at Notre Dame, so he knew what it took to win. And obviously,
well, Tarik had a gut instinct. He didn't want to play for Jerry DiNardo.
No, Jerry Sandusky.
Oh, Sandusky. I'm sorry.
Sandusky. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
who was recruiting.
Hey now. I flinched. Yeah. Exactly. DiNardo was at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt though, he was recruiting.
Yeah, yeah. Sandusky recruited you though.
Yeah, until puberty, and then I was.
Oh no!
All right.
Oh.
All right.
Thank God this is recorded and can be edited.
You can edit it for whatever you want.
Moving along.
So Badger players are going to come be Badgers because it's, the space. And I think that Luke Fickell has some of that, right? Like, I'm not in on it, right? I've not met Luke. I'm not in the Badgers organization. But he has the acumen of someone who brought a non-Power 5 team to the college football playoff. And sure, they didn't stand a chance once they got there. But I'm sure as hell everyone in that locker room believed they did. So he can bring that same energy to the recruiting trail. And that's part of the reason why this is still an exciting time for Badgers fans, even though it's been a tough week. There's still reason to believe for the rest of the season moving forward. Wouldn't you agree?
100%.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you know what? I think he has a staff that does a good job of recruiting. I think they've been recruiting very well. And I think you'll see improvement in the talent level of his teams.
I agree.
I really like the way they recruit. Man, they've really done a good job of reestablishing the state. They go out state and they get some good play. I mean, they get after it now. I'm impressed with how they recruit.
You know, there's a focus that needs to be reinforced and the defensive line, and they got a kid coming from Chicago, I think a four-star recruit. But, they just got here, as far as the recruiting process is concerned, and they got it. That's where I think their emphasis is going to be.
The cupboard wasn't full here. It wasn't.
The cupboard wasn't full here.
Yeah, it wasn't. No. It wasn't a lot of. There was a reason why they made changes. Okay? There was There was a former listen.
It was
Paul's
bad.
Paul's a great coach, but I think recruiting was being left behind. So you seem surprised.
We were 50-50.
No, I Alex, listen, why do you
Alex,
say it like that?
We were 50-50 what are you talking on about? Closing the borders on our state, on the big palookas, as Coach would say, in our offensive line. We were losing 50% of them in the in-state to Notre Dame, Ohio State, Penn State, whatever.
Penn State.
Yeah. And you know, I'm just telling you, the cupboard was not good.
I know. Listen, I hear you. I'm not
comment?
Surprised. I appreciate that you're willing to say that, because I think that that's something that fans are forgetting, that this has been, you know, the reason we moved on, the reason we made a change is because part of that is that we were losing those in-state battles and we weren't doing a great job recruiting. And so when Luke Fickell got here, he doesn't have his squad. And that's why you definitely got to give him time. The coordinators are getting a lot of pressure from fans, and obviously you can't let the fans win. But you also have to give this organization some time to really acclimate to what this new look team is going to look like, and to the fact that yes, we lost a lot of good recruiting opportunities.
We had a couple of few, you know, former Badgers on the staff. You know, a couple of former teammates of ours that Kalaji and Rudolph did a really good job. You know, I mean they, but other than that, it was not. We were losing, guys, and it wasn't
that's
good.
That's a tough reality. We were losing in-state players, and that
when you start losing in-state players, you're in trouble.
Amen.
Because there aren't a lot of good, you know, Division I players in the state of Wisconsin. If you have 6 to 8, that's a really good year, and you better get them. Maybe you lose one. I'm thinking over 16 years as a head coach, after our first year, I don't think we lost a handful that we really wanted of in-state kids, because we put an emphasis on it, and we really worked hard with the high school coaches, and it was a concerted effort.
I mean, Coach, that even started in your third year, my freshman class.
Yeah.
I mean, you had to flip. Three of them, Vandy, Wunsch, and Jurwitz, Notre Dame, Michigan.
Yeah.
I mean, yep. All three of them, Parade All-Americans.
All right. Yep. Let's wrap up on the other side. We're at the Great Dane in Fitchburg, and we just got our food. So we're going to wrap up on the other side here with the state of the Big Ten. We're headed into a bye week. We have nothing to talk about right away, but I want to talk about where the Big Ten is at. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN. The toughest take from the Badgers post-game show, Wisconsin College Game Day post-game show, was given to me by primetime Ryan Wollersheim, the producer of Jim, Matt, and Molly, every weekday 4 to 6, and he said that the Badgers will never be able to consistently hang with Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan. I'd like to know what you guys think about that.
I don't even know what that means. Ryan's not very old, obviously. So
no, younger than me, older than young Riley.
He's younger than you. Well, that then we don't got to think much about that, because you know we opened the season in 2019 and beat Michigan. You know, so it's not that far removed. It really is not. I think we beat them in 2020. I kind of discount that COVID season. Mm-hmm. You know, but I don't understand that. It's not. A Coach Fickell that's coming in here is not, I mean, he's gunning for Ohio State and Michigan. You know that, right? And Penn State.
And also, the landscape's changing, and it's ever changing, and how it all, we're still figuring out how this NIL deal is going to go. You know, maybe we are behind on them. We've been, you know, they have resources that we haven't had.
Their cities are three times the size, four times the size.
But their budgets are a little bit bigger, and you know, but we know who we are.
They've always had an advantage, Tarek. We always find a way to compete.
So, Coach, do you think that despite their advantage, the Badgers should be able to consistently compete year in and year out as a direct rival of Ohio State?
Yes.
And how do you think they're going to get from where we are right now to that? Do you think that's in the near future?
Well, I think our guys recruit well. I think our guys will get after the portal. The fact that Luke was there, Luke has been at Ohio State. I think it's important that you've been at a program that's had championships, been to places like that. The fact that I was at Notre Dame really helped. The fact that I was at Iowa as an assistant coach.
That's right.
When, you know, we turned that around, you know, and saw what the league was like, what you had to do in the league to win, and then to play at a real high level and win a national championship when we were at Notre Dame. That gives you helps you get a game plan together to build your plan for success in your program. So
Alex,
he knows what it takes.
It's about coaching. I mean,
go ahead.
Indiana's never had any tradition. Look at the tradition that we have. Look at what that head coach is doing at Indiana, albeit I know they haven't played a lot of top teams.
They haven't
played anyone. But they're undefeated.
They're looking really good.
And they're putting up points.
Could the Badgers be undefeated with Indiana's schedule right now?
No.
No?
No. We're not putting up points like them.
We put up 52 points against Purdue and then 47, was it, against Rutgers?
What did we do this past weekend against Iowa? Indiana beats Iowa's ass,
by
the way. Oh, yeah. No question. The way they're playing, no question.
Are they playing each other?
No, not yet.
No. No.
I like what you're thinking, Derek, though.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying – you can't, you know, it's about recruiting and coaching your guys up and giving them that confidence to understand that they can compete with anybody in this league. It's not rocket science. Like, you're chalking this up like Michigan, Penn State, and Ohio State are unbeatable, which is BS.
But I will tell you this, there are teams – and there are players out there that think like Alex. They don't think they have a chance, and that's why they get beat all the time.
I'd like to just say, this is Ryan Wollersheim. I was quick to say that Penn State is a very attainable task for the organization.
Yeah, well, I'm just...
Nebraska almost beat Ohio State, by the way.
That's just natural.
It should have.
That's just natural. That's, you know, and that's why teams that... When I was at Notre Dame, you know, most of the teams were beaten before you even snapped the ball because they didn't think they could beat us. But then every once in a while you play somebody that's going to come out and fight the heck out of you, and you had a ball game. And so you have to convince your guys that they can win. Some guys go in think they can't. In the back of their mind, it only takes one or two of those guys, and at the right time they'll roll over.
What would it mean for this franchise? For this program to beat Oregon.
Wow.
Well, I mean, it would be, I believe, you know, reverse the clock back 14 years, and it'd be like us beating Ohio State in the camp 14 years ago, number one in the country.
Tarek?
Well, I just think it would be such an inspiration to everyone. I think it would just, you know, really propel them into a bowl game, right? Because we're eligible, right?
Correct.
So then you not only are you going to the bowl game, but then, you know, the recruiting and the belief and all these things that go into it. I think those are the things that you could take from it. But, you know, again, it'd be one game, but I know Coach Fickell will do great things with that if he does, but that'd be a heck of a win.
Coach, what would it mean? Yeah.
It would mean credibility for the staff. Credibility to your players, the things that you've been telling them that are a little bit different than what they have been doing in the past, that you're doing the right thing. We're on the right track. Keep following the plan. We have the right plan.
All right. Well, the Badgers are on the right track.
That was as good as it could be said. Right there.
It is.
That's what it means. Yeah.
And the Badgers are on the right track. Going into the bye week, despite a tough one, they can still bounce back, and bowl game eligibility is on the table. This has been the Great Dane Huddle, driven by Janesville Kia.
Okay, boys.
See you soon.